Hey, John Duvick is in the studio with me. John is a friend of mine, a fellow musician who plays a couple different traditions, but I think we agree that Irish music is the best music in the world.
It's right up there.
Okay, I'm kidding. I say that, but you know, it is amazing to see how much Irish music has grown around the country. I mean, the Irish festivals.
It's amazing.
Here in Des Moines, used to be a session once a month. But that started 34 years ago, and now we've got sessions, seven times a month?
Seven times a month, and it's hard to get a seat in the
circle half
the time.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your background, John.
Right. Well, I came into music probably when I got my first guitar in college. So I was kind of a late bloomer, but I learned a few chords, played a little stand-up bass, and got into some contra dance bands as a result of that. So I was a longtime backer of this type of music, the type of music including Irish, Scottish, and kind of what we call Appalachian music, which is played for dances around the country.
Contra dances, so folks know, are basically square dances, but in lines.
Square dances in lines.
Yeah.
And
similar musical repertoire.
Similar repertoire. It's fiddle-based music. It's a driving beat. There's usually guitars, maybe some mandolins and banjos.
Hopefully an accordion.
Hopefully a tasteful accordion.
Wait, is that a contradiction? It's an oxymoron, isn't it?
No, I think there are plenty of tasteful accordion players out there.
You're looking at me.
I'm not sure I know any.
Okay, good. Right,
no, that's yeah. So I've done that for a long time, just as an avocation. And for a long time in Iowa, in fact, the Central Iowa Barn Dance does fourth Saturdays of the month in Ames. I'll put in a little pitch for that during the season. But many years ago, I started coming to the Irish session in Des Moines and joined in on guitar. And that was a lot of fun. But if you have too many guitars, it gets a little unwieldy, so I decided I needed to learn a melody instrument, and that's where the fiddle came in.
Well, you know, you play the bouzouki as well.
I've played a little bouzouki as well. Bouzouki is originally a Greek instrument with four courses of strings, like a mandolin, but it's longer and a little more resonant.
Yeah.
And the Irish picked up on the bouzouki
60s, 70s.
Decades ago as a backing instrument and also a melody instrument.
I was in Paris, actually, jamming with an Irish group. They would play in front of the Pompidou Center during the day, and then at night we'd hang out and jam till 2 in the morning. And there was a bouzouki player from Yugoslavia. I think he was one of the first bouzouki players to find his way into Irish music.
It's an amazing instrument.
Yeah, it is. But even that's not really. I mean, you can play melody on it.
It's a little hard because it's a large instrument. You know, the distance between the frets makes it tough to do fast reels and so forth. So yeah, the real Irish melody instruments would be fiddle, flute, pipes, of course, tin whistle, and accordion, I'll
admit. Thank you, okay.
So I had to choose one of those. And it was pretty easy to throw out the accordion. I'm giving Ed a hard time, as many of his listeners know.
I'm used to that.
The accordion, and I love it. But I decided on probably one of the more difficult instruments, which is fiddle, and I'm still struggling with it. But
you've only been playing it for a few years, right?
Well, yeah. But
an old geezer like you picking up a fiddle, that's pretty impressive.
Well, it goes to show you anyone can do anything if they put their mind to it. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun. But just to back up the claim that Ed made at the beginning of this segment about Irish music being the best, it really is. There is something about it, something about the way it has developed. And of course, it's not a music in a vacuum. Irish music has drawn from, well, certainly from Scotland and possibly other traditions, certainly on the continent, you know, with some of the mazurkas that are played.
Sure. Yeah.
But they're given a little flip and a little twist and a little something or other that makes them Irish.
Yeah.
And that something is what is so attractive to a lot of people who want to play, who want to listen, who want to learn these tunes. You know, there are thousands of them.
There's a very notable local blues and jazz rock musician, came to one of our sessions a few years ago. And he said after, he said to me afterwards, you know, this, I've never really listened to this music. It really, really speaks to me. So there is something about it. And maybe it's the fact that it's so raw in its connection to the land, to the people. I mean, I think that's what, to me, what traditional music is about. Traditional music is connected in a way that, you know, more stylistic music may not be,
mm-hmm.
to the folkways, the lifestyle, the land itself.
Yep.
Maybe that's it.
That could be. And, you know, having been to Ireland, and of course you have roots in Ireland, you know that the land is gentle, green, but it's also rough, you know.
Yeah,
in
it's not always gentle.
It's not always gentle.
And there are bogs.
And, you know, the people have their style, their rhythm.
Did you do any sessions when you were in Ireland?
I didn't play, but I watched and listened to a lot of sessions. And, you know, the level of playing is, of course, super high. Even better than us. But it's really special.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I can't define what it is about the music. But I guess the other aspect about Irish music is that for various reasons, it blossomed into, as you mentioned, a thing in mostly pubs, but in various public venues all around the world, everywhere from China to Africa, Asia. Yeah. I don't know about Antarctica, but quite possibly.
And we have people from all over the world stopping in at our Irish music jam sessions here in Des Moines, too. We have a guy who comes probably once or twice a year from Japan, whose English is very broken, but Takashi.
Right.
He plays the bar. He plays the Irish drum.
And what's his nickname? I forgot.
I don't know that.
He's got a funny nickname.
Oh, don't we all? Anyway, I asked him, I said, how did a Japanese guy pick up the Irish drum? And he said he was in Texas for some reason, and he was walking by a pub, and he heard the music, and he went in, and he was particularly drawn to the drum. And he wanted to know what it was, and he picked one up, and he started learning, and he's quite good. He's very proficient.
He is.
Yeah. But we have people from France, from all over the country, from Ireland, of course, and others stop in and play. And it's just exciting. It's to me, the core elements of a traditional session are that, you know, you're not performing, you're just having fun. You know, if people like what you're doing, that's great, but you're not there to please the crowd.
Right.
And also, the other thing is people are welcome. Other musicians are welcome.
That's right. Yeah, our session, I should say, the sessions that Ed and I attend are that way. They're not performances, but they're very welcoming. We've had some unusual instruments and, you know, maybe have tested the limits of our welcome.
which ones? I'm thinking of the washtub bass that showed up years ago and a cello once. What are you thinking of?
I'm thinking of, what was it? It was some kind of a droney instrument. It wasn't a shruti box. It was much louder than that. This was years ago.
A shruti box is almost like a castrated accordion.
Right. But it's a welcoming music. That's at the core of it. And it's, I guess, the other feature of it that I enjoy is the chance to, I guess, socialize.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that I don't enjoy a pint or two, but I'm not someone who goes out to a bar every night of the week to see my friends.
That's not what your wife told me, but anyway.
But there is a long tradition of public houses as being a place where people socialize.
Mm-hmm.
So this gives me and others a chance to do that. You know, I've gotten to know people, gotten to know about their lives, mm-hmm. and share a little bit once a week, mm-hmm. with people. Because you're not always playing. You're sometimes talking, chatting, you know, drinking in between. But it is a social occasion, and it's again, as Ed said, it's a worldwide thing. I've walked into bars in Detroit, Michigan, and had the same experience there.
Mm, yeah. And you also play with another band called the Barn Owl Band, and that is the band that provides the music for the monthly dances here.
Contra Dance
in the Des Moines area.
Mm-hmm.
And years ago, you had a moment of a Barn Owl fame.
A fleeting moment of fame, yes. We played on Garrison Keillor's Prairie Home Companion back in 2002, I think, thereabouts.
And that didn't launch your international stardom?
No.
No.
It did not. But it,
well, maybe this program will.
Yeah, you know, it gave us some visibility. We actually recorded a CD out of that. Not of that concert, but a subsequent performance in Ames. So
How did Keeler's people end up contacting the Barnell Band?
We had a fiddle player named Jason Huntley, who, he was a crackerjack fiddle player, and the band was playing at a pretty high level, and he learned that Garrison Keeler was coming to town to Ames, and so he said, "I'm going to send him our CD and see if we can get on the show." And it's actually not that unusual for local bands to be invited. Yeah. So we happened to be the local Ames band that were invited to play.
You weren't invited. You invited yourself.
Well, we presented ourselves.
Which is good.
We presented ourselves.
Was it kind of nerve-wracking?
Extremely.
Extremely.
Yes. This was the early days of online video, and there were little cameras on the edge of the stage. That made it even more nerve-wracking.
Right. Aren't you glad that this is just a radio show and not a...
I'm not nervous at all. This is great.
Yeah. So, my thought is not just Irish music, but traditional music, music that is kind of the people, that grows out of the life and work of people who are close to the land. I find it very inspiring. You know what I'll do sometimes? I will ask somebody to pick a letter from A to Z, and then I will Google, say you pick a G. I'll go online and I'll Google all countries that start with the letter G. And then I'll ask you to pick a number of one to whatever number is the top number of those number of countries. And then I'll just listen to them. I'll Google traditional music from, say, Germany or Greece or Guyana. And it's really, sometimes you get some dud stuff, or Greenland in this case, right? And it's fascinating to me. And you know, there are so many differences from like Irish music to any other type of music in the world. But you can also see strands and threads and similarities, and just a sense of being connected to the people through that more raw, basic, you know, content.
That's a great idea. I'm going to give that a try. I think I like that better than YouTube. It's algorithm, feeding you stuff that it thinks
right.
You want.
create your own algorithm.
No, I like that idea. I really do.
Yeah, and occasionally I know that sometimes at our sessions, there will be people who jump in and play something that's not Irish. We have a gal who, every once in a while, it's a very meaningful song to her. She sings "Somewhere Over the Rainbow."
Yes.
We have another guy who likes to sing a Cajun tune. I think it's called "Nail That Catfish."
Oh, right.
Is that Cajun? Maybe not. Maybe
no,
it's just,
that was actually a composed tune. Sounds trad, but it's composed.
Yeah, but there is a fellow who also does play a Cajun tune once in a while. Yeah.
Right.
So I mean, I think that's good. There are hardcore traditionalists who only want jigs and reels, and that's it. And if anybody's reading music, they'll scowl at you. But, just kind of lighten up and maybe bring in some new ideas once in a while and see what happens.
Right. Yeah. It has to be fun. It's not a chore, and it's not professional music. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, John, I really appreciate you taking the time to join us on this. I know we're you and I and three other Irish music ne'er-do-wells will be performing quite a bit in and around St. Patrick's Day, and the first of our many gigs is going to be in Harlan in Western Iowa at Milk and Honey Restaurant, which is a great venue in and of itself. It's a restaurant that focuses on locally grown food.
Always a good time in Harlan. We've done this a few years.
Usually at a different place.
Usually at a different
place. Brickwall Gallery. This will be the first time we're at Milk and Honey, but yeah.
That's great.
And then we're also playing at the Greenfield Opera House, where you will be doing an aria. Singing an aria solo? No, I made that part up.
I think you're mistaken.
Maybe we can talk Anna into doing an aria. And then we're doing a series of senior homes as well.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Yeah. St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Week, yeah. That's right. We need a whole week. Anyway, thank you, folks, for listening. This is Ed Fallon with John Duvick.